Thank you, Brother Scott. Beautiful song, Oh Holy Night. It was just that. The Christmas season is really about Jesus Christ, His birthday. It's the only time, I don't understand in America why we do this. No one can explain it. Let me ask just a question. Let's see, Brian Gustafson, do you have birthdays?
One.
Okay. Have you had many celebrations of that one birthday? Okay. When you have a birthday celebration, somebody tell me, who gets the gifts? Brian does. Okay. Rick, when you have a birthday, does your wife has never come to give me a gift? It's because it's your birthday. Can somebody explain to me why it's the birthday of Jesus Christ and I get Janet a gift? I mean, that makes no sense to me. We're celebrating the Lord's birthday, but nobody gives him a gift. Our children, we have to be careful because our children think it's about Christmas and them. It's Jesus' birthday. Now, I want you to understand that this was a big deal some 2,000 years ago. And the Lord worked heaven and earth together to announce His birthday. So what He does is He goes to the Middle East, Far East, sort of like, I guess it could be Nineveh. Nineveh is about 500 miles sort of northeast of Jerusalem. The Bible says, notice this in verse number 1. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. It doesn't say where they're from. But they could be one of three places. Babylon, Persia, Nineveh. Assyrians, Persians, Babylonians. Probably from Babylon. It's almost 600 miles, almost due west of Jerusalem. Now, how many of you drive 600 miles? How long would it take you to drive 600 miles? Somebody tell me. How much time would it take you to drive 600 miles? 10 hours, okay? He's got a small jet. 10 hours, okay? 10 hours you can go. No, really, that's pretty normal time. 10 hours. But do you know how long it took to go 600 miles in this day? A couple months. Now, let's get this into perspective. Notice in verse number 2, it says, saying, they arrive in Jerusalem, wise men, and say, hey, where is he that's born king of the Jews? How on earth did they know a king of the Jews, a king of anybody, was coming? Did that ever dawn on you? They didn't just go out to Leesburg to check out what was the king was coming. They went all the way to St. Louis nearly. Over all kinds of terrain, through robbers and all kinds of issues. And this cost them a fortune to take this trip. Now, I want you to back up. No one knows how they knew. But I got a sort of a suggestion. If you have your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 6. Keep your finger in Matthew. We'll come back there. But Daniel chapter 6. So keep in mind, when the Bible doesn't specifically say something, you got to be real careful being dogmatic about it. So I'm not. I'm just trying to give you sort of an idea of what I think happened, and I think you'll see it's pretty plausible. Okay? Notice when, if you would, now keep in mind, Daniel was in Jerusalem. A raid came, and they destroyed Jerusalem and took him back to Babylon. And some friends of his. They took the brightest of minds. They didn't go to the poor places of Jerusalem. They went to the palaces and the rich people, usually slay all of them and take their older children, 12, 15 years old. The bright ones, smart ones, good looking ones, the ones that are dressed that look sharp. Well, they took them, and three of them in particular we know of, they took back to Babylon. Well, notice, you know, Daniel, Meshach, and Shadrach, and Abednego, those four of them. But the three Hebrew children plus Daniel. And so I want you to notice Daniel has just gotten out of the lion's den. God has spared him in chapter 6. And notice what his king Darius writes. Notice what you notice in verse number 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall even be unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? Now, I think Daniel talked a lot about future things. I'm not going to take much time, but if you were to turn to Daniel chapter 9, you would find. Matter of fact, let's just turn over there real quickly. Notice Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Look, if you would, in verse number 23 through 25, 26. I'm just going to summarize it. But I want you to notice, and not to get into the weeds here, but there's a book called The Coming Prince, written by a leader of Scotland Yard. About 100 years ago, that studied this passage of scriptures, studied time, studied the environment of Israel, and put a book together. And it's a fascinating book that can reveal to us some things that are, I think, Daniel revealed to various people in the in Darius's cabinet, and those words passed down, perhaps even written down. And these three, these kings, however many there are, get a hold of it. And their astrologers, astronomers, they're looking at the stars all the time. And I don't know about you, but how many of you can find some constellations in the clouds, in the stars? Okay? Not in the clouds, but in the sky. Okay? All right. You see them? All right. You're looking up there. I every once in a while see the Big Dipper. That's about it. And when they say somebody takes a sextant and tells you exactly where they are on the earth, I have no idea how that happens. My GPS is hard enough for me to understand, let alone a sextant and getting the stars and calculating and getting it right here. But they knew the heavens. Keep in mind, look back over, if you would, chapter number 2. Daniel, chapter number 2. Notice with me, if you would, Daniel chapter 2. Look in verse number 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such thing of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. So Daniel was a part of the wise men group that studied the stars. Now, Daniel had one thing that nobody else had, and that was God revealed to him through revelation, clear, things in the future. Now, let's go back to Daniel 9. And I want you to see this. I'm not going to take a long time here, but I want you to notice this. In verse number 25. Know therefore and understand. Now, this is an angel speaking to Daniel, and he wrote it down and gave it to us. So this is God speaking that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, that happened in Nehemiah 1. And from that date, keep in mind, from that date, we have a pretty fixed date on that date. Add to it, notice what he says. Unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 70 weeks. Now, pause just for a minute. That's 69 weeks of years. If you look at the Jewish calendar, it has 360 days in it, not 365. So if you use their 360-day calendar and multiply 69 weeks of years, it comes down to 173,880 days. It's all in this book. You pull it up, you look at it, I've researched it, looked at it, and it all makes sense to me. It ends up on April 6, AD 32. Does anybody know what happened on that day as far as we can tell? Jesus came into Jerusalem, by known as donkey. God's word is crisply accurate. So somehow they said, well, if he comes in April, And it's 32 AD, and this is not 32 AD. You know, we don't know when everything's going to start, but I see a star. And they said, God works in the stars. And somehow they knew that was the star of the king of Israel. And so the Holy Spirit may have revealed that to them, but they said, let's go find out where he is. They didn't know it was Jerusalem. They didn't know it was Bethlehem. They only followed the star. So they get their calculations up and they're following the star and they follow it 600 miles to Jerusalem. And they get there and they say, where is he that's going to be born king of the Jews? Thinking everybody knows this. Only problem, nobody did. But the Bible told them, and I don't know why the scribes and Pharisees, a lot of times it's easier to look backwards than it is forward. They said, well, in 32 years, he's going to be presented as king riding on a donkey. So when's he going to be born? Well, we don't know when, but we know where. So watch what it says here. Now look back in our original passage. Look at Matthew, chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, they're the religious leaders and they're supposed to know everything that's going on. Prophecy, astronomy, all this. What's this? He demanded of them where Christ should be born. They knew he was coming. They didn't know when. They said where. They said in Bethlehem of Judea. Micah 5:2, they knew exactly where. And so the disciples, these wise men, notice this. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is it written by the prophet. Explains it, then verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he had heard the king was going to be born, he calls them over and he says, hey, when you guys go find him, you're following the star, when you find him, you obviously got some connection to the God of heaven, the Jewish God, because you've come 600 miles to here, and he's going to be born, you know, a few miles down from Jerusalem. So would you come back and tell me where he is when you find him? Because I want to worship him too. Now, all that was a lie. He didn't want any other king to compete with him, so he wanted to kill him. And the reason we know that is those wise men, God gave them direction and said, don't go back to the king. You go a different way home. So they did. But it had taken a time, about 2 years, and the king got frustrated and said, I'm going to kill that king. So he killed every male Jewish boy in Bethlehem from 2 year olds and down, trying to kill the Messiah, the king. Now, let's go back up and just look at these wise men for a minute. I think we can learn some lessons. Number one, they had to ignore all the religious traditions and teachings of their homeland. There's no way they would have gotten a caravan together and put to this great expense and gone someplace following a star unless they had heard something from Daniel or some visiting evangelist that was traveling through about this new Messiah, this great King of Israel, the one that can do anything, that can forgive your sins. They wanted to know where it was. They were dissatisfied with their own religions. They were dissatisfied with worshiping the gods and the sun and the moon. They were dissatisfied. They said, we'd like to know where the King of the Jews is. We'd like to know where this Messiah is. Daniel wrote about it. Daniel wrote about it. And if the Daniel's correct, 32 more years, he's going to appear as a king. So he's got to be born sometime. And so they're in Jerusalem and they're looking around. They just said, we're going to have to ignore all that we've heard. We're going to have to ignore what we've been taught. We're just going to look at Scripture. Now, they had Daniel. They said, we're going to go. We're going to follow this star. So they follow the star that even Darius, the king, said, the Lord works in the stars of heaven. So they follow the star. They get there. And, you know, there had to be another thing in their heart, not only to ignore all the teachings they'd received, because this new king was different than all the rest. Everybody knew about Daniel. Daniel and his great spirit. Daniel and his God that could stop the lion's mouth. Daniel and his God that could stop Nebuchadnezzar's fiery flame and furnace. This God is greater than all we've ever heard of. We want to go find him. And so they had to ignore all that they've been taught. Maybe you've grown up in religious circles. This supersedes all religion. You can read God's word and study it and learn all you need to know about Christmas. Christmas is the Lord Jesus' birthday, the Savior of the world. And he's come to save you and me. That's what his birthday's about. That's the reason why maybe you pause for a little bit this Christmas season. So, Lord, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you my heart. Lord, I want to give you my future. Lord, I want to give you my attitude. Lord, I want to give you my thoughts and dreams. I want to give you a gift, Lord. What are you going to give to Jesus this Christmas? Now, I'm going to be asking that each service. What are you going to give? Because it's his birthday. Not Johnny's. Not Mary's. Not your sweet wife or your fine husband. It's his birthday. And he's not interested in... Do you know Jesus doesn't need a new watch? He doesn't need a diamond bezel Rolex watch. He doesn't need a new car. You've seen those big bows on the top of a car? He doesn't need that. You know what Jesus, the only thing he's interested in is this right here. Now these wise men, they said, you know what? I'm interested in finding about this Jesus. They sought him. Very few people look for Jesus Christ. That's the reason we have, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have to go find them. We have to go help them understand. They're in trouble spiritually. The whole world is filled with sinners. Somebody's got to care about them because most people are not like this. They don't have a Daniel in their past to whet their appetite and say, we see a star. That must be the one, the king of Israel that Daniel spoke about. Let's go find him. They were so impressed by the stories that they had heard, the writings that they had seen about this great God of Daniel. We want to go find him. And so they come to Jerusalem and they ignored all of their teaching and training. And they had this burning in their heart. They were interested in finding Jesus, the King of the Jews. So notice what happens. Look in verse number 8. This is Matthew 2:8. And he sent them to Bethlehem. And now watch this. This is the king. Now he sends them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Why? Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I don't know how they navigated according to this star, but maybe it was a brighter star than all the other stars, and they just followed it. You would imagine that's probably what happened. Because God was putting together the story of Christmas and why everybody worldwide should worship this Jesus. From far east to south to north, everybody should worship this my son's birth. And so he brings these wise men. And wise men still seek him. Well, you'll notice they're looking for Jesus. Well, notice what happens in verse number 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Why? The heart was in it. They were looking for the king and they were excited about seeing him. Now, look, I'm excited when I see a new baby born. There's something exciting about seeing that little one. You know, head here, legs hang over here, just about that big, you know, a little short thing, 7 pounds. There's something exciting about that. But, you know, it's not the Son of God. So, you know, we're excited and you can go with your mom and keep her up nights the rest of the 6 months and we're going to rejoice our life, okay? We're going to let you take care of them. But that wanes, goes away. but not the birth of the Son of God. And so you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, so the star leads them to where Jesus is. Now, we don't know how long after this it is, but maybe it's been 6, 8 months, a year, year and a half. We don't know. But he's no longer in the manger. He's in a house. And notice, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And then I want you to notice, I think they invited him into their hearts, because notice what it says here. And fell down and worshiped him. Now, this is sort of like I see Jesus Christ and I fall down and say, oh my God, would you forgive me? They knew this was the Savior of the world. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 21. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which Jehovah is salvation, is what that means. For he shall save his people from his sins. So understand, they realized who this Jesus was. They realized who this coming prince was, and all they fell down and worshiped him. Have you fallen down and given the Lord Jesus your heart this morning? Now, look, this only happened once. And they went on about their life. I don't think they were ever the same. We don't have any record of these magi or these wise men, but they're in heaven today. We're going to be able to see them one of these days. Tell me about your trip. Tell me what happened. Well, when we saw him, we knew it was the King of Heaven. It happened other times in Scripture. Whenever Mary had the little one and there was a man and a woman, Anna, in Scripture, they said, now I can go to heaven because I've seen the Messiah. So somehow God lets people see it. Have you seen the fact that Jesus Christ can save your sins? That's what happened to the wise man. And I'm reminded, they initiated obedience after they had trusted him as Savior. I want you to see two reasons why. Notice number one, verse number 11. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So they brought the only thing that they could. No one has taught them that he's not interested in money, but they brought what they could. And you know, as you and I begin to study the Scriptures, we realize the Lord Jesus is not just interested in dimes and dollars and gold and silver. He's interested in us. He died to save everybody in this room, that you would spend time personally with him. Remember, all this started at the Garden of Eden. He wanted to walk with Adam and Eve. And they were the ones that sinned and were kicked out of the garden, and in perpetuity, so were we. But God sent his son to redeem us back so that you and I could again walk with Jesus Christ. He doesn't necessarily want our money. But they knew to give something to their new Messiah, their new king. So they initiated this. Well, we're going to give to him what we have, the best that we have. Mary did that. She looked around, what can I give to Jesus? She gave him her alabaster box. She broke it up and gave it all to him. I think that's what he wants from us. He wants you all. Maybe you're retired. Well, are you spending more time with Jesus Christ? Maybe you're not retired. Maybe you're just out of college, or you're still in college. You say, Pastor, I'm so busy. Make time for Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is about. It's about us worshiping Jesus Christ. It's about us giving him something. It's not about you giving your children something. It's about you giving. It's Jesus' birthday. It's about you and I giving him something. So they gave him gold. And notice, if you would, they gave him their gifts. Now, they had brought those gifts with them. But they expected to find Jesus Christ. They expected to find this king. Do you understand? The Lord Jesus will be found of you if you seek him. If you're interested in Jesus, he'll be available to you. But you can't let the world and all the things that are going on steal away your attention to where the Lord Jesus is all around you, and yet you don't pause and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to fall down and worship you. He loves you. Take this Christmas season and spend some time with the Lord. Learn to walk with Him. And then I noticed not only did they initiate the obedience of giving, but they initiated the obedience to go. Look what they did. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They decided to go a completely different direction so they didn't have to go back to Jerusalem to have to meet with Herod, because they wanted to do what the Lord said. Once a person has invited Christ into their heart, they've got to start obeying. You initiate obedience. That's the reason why I got baptized. I was saved on a Sunday morning, got baptized Sunday night. Because that was the first step of obedience. Then after that, you know, I wanted to come to church. I wanted to learn about the Lord. I started reading my Bible. Personally, as a teenage boy, I wanted to read about it. I wanted to know about it. And so just yesterday, I finished reading my Bible through for this year. So I started some other things that I'm reading through. I have about three different plans I'm reading every day through and with. And I want to know as much about the Lord Jesus as I can. I'm interested in Him. I want to know about Him. Are we interested in Him? This is His birthday. Now, when you are looking for something to give somebody a birthday card, you can find humorous, you can find serious, you can find something that expresses your heart. I'm so proud of you. I love you. Have we got something for the Lord Jesus this Christmas season? Or are we caught up? I got a list here. I got to go get all these people's gifts. Don't forget the one that should go on the top. These wise men didn't. Now, they were wise for two reasons. Number one, they're well-trained, well-educated. They're respected and looked up to as wise men. Brilliant men. The best prepared people, degreed people in their society. But they were wise because they sought to get to heaven and to see this great God, perhaps of Daniel, that they'd heard all about for centuries and had gotten passed down. Maybe they read the book of Daniel chapter 9 and said, he's got to be here. He's got to be here. 32 years and he's going to be anointed king. He's got to be here. Do you understand today, as I look at these wise men and I say, Lord, I want to be like that. I may not have all the information, but I've got more than they had. And so do you. Today could I ask you a question. What gift are you going to give to Jesus this morning? This week, I came in and there were some packages wrapped up underneath the tree. I said, wow, who are those for? Well, there's one for you and there's one. And I started going down the list here. Could I challenge you today? Could I ask you to be like the wise man? You've got something to give to Jesus Christ. Maybe the Lord's burdened you about, I don't know, giving help to a new building. Maybe we've got a building fund because people gave. We never asked for it. We didn't have a building fund. We had to start one because people were giving. Obviously, the Lord said, I want you to help out because I didn't say anything about it. It's got $107,000 in it. So what I'm trying to say is the Lord burdens our heart for different things. But I don't know that God's burdened your heart to give to the building fund, but I know God's burdened your heart to give your heart. To give your future. To give your direction. I remember Morse Gleiser. How many of you know Morse Gleiser, our evangelist? I remember when he was a teenager. He was dating a young lady. I don't know if he'd ever tell you this, but he was dating a young lady. Her name was Debbie. And we, as his friends, Travis and I and different young ladies, and we were praying for Travis because we didn't think she was the girl for him. It wasn't spiritually minded, but she was very pretty. And Morris had a spiritual heart, but somehow, sometimes, you know, you get pulled into things. He really liked her. And we prayed, said, Lord, please bring him back from her. Give him somebody better than that. Lord, someone that has a heart for you. I'm going to tell you the story. So, I don't know what year it was, junior, senior year, they broke it off. And we are all happy. Praise the Lord. And so, we're in college together and he meets a girl named Lynn. Oh, she's pretty and sweet. And so they hooked up and they've been married now for almost 50 years. But there was a point when Morris was like 16, 15, 16, 17, where he says, Lord, this is what I want, but I'll let you make the choice. Debbie married a guy. He went to prison. They ended up wrecking both their lives. Morris wasn't a part of that because of one thing. Lord, I want to give you something in my heart. I'll give you my direction. I'll give you my future. And now Morris has traveled for 30 years, 25 years, preaching all around the world, telling people about the great Messiah that was born on Christmas Day. And he'd love to save you. But I can remember a day when he made a decision. Not my will, but yours be done. And that made all the difference. Today, what is it the Lord Jesus is holding out his hand and say, it's my birthday. I'd like to have this. I tell a little story. I've told it a couple times, two or three times since I've been here. Favorite story of mine. A little girl. She had some glued together string of pearls that you get out of a little machine. And probably $5. She had it around her neck. She loved it because it was from her daddy. And she loved that string of pearls. They weren't real, but they were pearls to her. And so she would take her daddy when he'd get home from work. She'd meet him there and she had his paper, some slippers, and had a cup of coffee on his nightstand. And then one day, he wanted to do something really special for her. So he went out and bought a string of cultured pearls and put them in his pocket. But he didn't tell her. But those pearls she had around her neck were her favorite thing. So he came in one day and said, honey, give me your pearls. No, Daddy, these are my pearls. You gave them to me. Next day he comes in, he walks in, she's got his paper, she's all excited. Give me your pearls. She put his paper down and walked away. Next couple days, no paper, no coffee, nothing. Then a period of time, don't know how long it was, but she saw him come in. She was crying. She jumped up in his arms and said, Daddy, I love you more than these pearls. And she had them in her hand. She said, here you are. And he took them. And the fireplace was going and walked over and he threw them in the fire. They immediately consumed. And she wiped her tears and she said, I still love you, Daddy. He reached in his pocket and he pulled out that cultured set of pearls. She went, oh. She said, these are for you because you gave me your best. She said, Daddy, how long have you had those pearls in your pocket? Since the day I asked for your fake pearls. Well, Daddy, why didn't you tell me? I just wanted to see if you loved me more than what you had. That's not worth much. Oh, Daddy, they're so beautiful. I think a lot of people here have got a necklace full of fake pearls. Cars, jobs, houses, 401ks, and you still have your heart right here. Today, the Lord Jesus has got something wonderful for you. Being in the center of God's will is priceless. But you've got to say, Lord, here. Here's my stuff that doesn't matter. I want you to have it. Today, give the Lord Jesus what he wants. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. The wise men were wise because they sought Jesus. They gave him their greatest gifts. Will you do that? It's Jesus' birthday. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But I sure would like to know. Could I encourage you to come today? Trust Christ. Invite him into your heart. And maybe you're struggling today with some things in your life. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I give up. I give it to you. He's got out his hand. You can have a wonderful life if you'll give your heart to the Lord. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. We need you more than things. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to give you our hearts today as our treasure for Christmas. In your precious name we pray. Amen.